Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Salini-Impregilo first quarter 2015 financial results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabrizio Rossini, Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining Salini-Impregilo first quarter 2015 financial results conference call. I'm Fabrizio Rossini, Head of Investor Relations. Hosting the call today is Pietro Salini-Impregilo Chief Executive Officer. Also joining him on the call is Massimo Ferrari, General Manager, Group Finance and Corporate, and Alessandro De Rosa, Deputy General Manager, Administration, Finance, and Planning. Before we start our call, let me remind you of the usual housekeeping safe harbor notice. Any forward-looking statements embedded in today's presentation are based on our current expectations and planning assumptions, which are subject to risks and uncertainties. The actual results may differ materially due to factors mentioned in the press release issued today and discussed in this conference call. Let me also remind you that an MP3 file will be available shortly after the call and can be accessed through the Investor Relations section of our website. As a usual reminder, during the Q&A session, in the interest of time for the other participants, please limit yourself to one question and a brief follow-up. Now I would like to turn over the call over to Pietro Salini, Chief Executive Officer. Thank you, Pietro.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for participating in this conference call dedicated to our first quarter 2015 financial results. I'm happy about the positive start of the year. We reported a strong and promising double-digit growth in revenues, EBITDA, and EBIT, an excellent profitability, and we managed to more than double the net income versus the first quarter of the last year. We'll examine the profit and loss details in a moment, but let me tell you that these results make me even more confident in reaching the guidance that we have set for 2015. We must not forget, however, that a single quarter is not enough. We need to be consistent in our delivery, and we will. Let's first take a look at our reference market. While the macroeconomic scenario looks to be slowly coming out of its transition phase, demand for large infrastructure works continue to remain very robust. Low borrowing costs are providing the right condition to encourage countries to expand investment in infrastructures. Lately, there has been much talk about the use of public investment to stimulate the economy. Several economists have confirmed that their research that an increase in public infrastructure investment stimulates economic growth in the short term and can have a multiplier effect on the long-term demand. A recent IMF report even suggested that $1 of investment into infrastructure may increase output by nearly three times. It is not surprising that we continue to find opportunities in our reference market. We have already identified by name $790 billion of new projects throughout 2000. On our side, we continue to have a well-diversified construction backlog by geography and segment. Our construction backlog covers nearly six times 2014 revenues. Put another way, not 80% of the revenue forecast under our business plan is covered by our existing backlog. These safe ratios allow us to be selective in choosing our future project, and this helps explain our better-than-peers profitability. We have a well-populated pipeline of projects awaiting outcome with an overall value in excess of $15 billion. Recently, you learned that we signed an exclusive agreement with the government of Papua Nova Guinea to jointly develop a hydroelectric project of 1,800 megawatts with a planned investment of more than $2 billion. On the delivery side, we also have been quite active. Completed projects since the beginning of the year include the Metro B1 Ionio Station in Rome, Pedemontana Motorway in Milano, and Sogamoso Hydroelectric Power Plant in Colombia. Moreover, our important Panama Canal project is fast approaching completion, with 90% of delivery already reached. The last gate of the project was installed in April 28. Stress tests are expected in June, and the new canal is to become fully operational by mid-2016. But not let's forget where we are heading. Let me remind you of our targets for the year, as well as our 2014-2017 business plan. We all know that these are ambitious targets, but they are achievable if we remain consistent in our delivery, as well as disciplined and effective in our management. So we said that the targets were in revenue, more than 15% in growth, and the 2017 targets were put to do 7 billion of turnover, and EBITDA in margin was better than 10.5% in 2015, and we will reach 800 million in 2017. EBIT margin was better or around 5.5% in 2015, and going to 500 million in 2017. New orders were online with what we achieved in 2014, and on the targets, we were going to have a book-to-bill over 1x over the business plan, with an annual construction order of around 7 billion. Net financial position is in line with the 2014 results, and we were heading to the 2017 with 500 million of cash positive. We reconfirm all these targets. And even if the conditions that were underlying our plan were substantially different into this year, we remind you of the stress tests we put in our business plan and the fact that we zeroed the revenues coming from Libya for the actual situation in the world that of course, offset our possibility to work there, and also the effects of the sudden drop into the oil price that has a different effect on the economy of all oil countries that we work in. So it is important to consider that our business plan at present do not include Libya in revenues, and that it is still confirming the targets that we were in our business plan. The forecast growth on our target market, our excellent backlog, both in terms of quantity and quality, the company financial structure, which remains solid, are the key factors that will enable us to accomplish our ambitious business plan by 2017. I will pass the word to Massimo Ferrari to explain you all the details of our achievements.
Thank you, Pietro. Good afternoon, everyone. The first quarter of 2015 closed with a clear improvement in earnings and marginality over the first quarter 2014, obviously restated with the new accounting principle. Analyzing the most significant components of the P&L, revenues benefited from both a better volume and mix of orders in progress, such as the metro in Denmark, the dams in Ethiopia, the metro lines in Riyadh and Qatar, and the high-speed train between Genova and Milano. Revenues have also benefited from a non-recurring income of about 5 million euro related to a pre-existing transaction settlement owed by a partner in Italy. EBITDA reported an increase of more than 27% versus the first quarter of the previous year, which led to an EBITDA margin of 11.7%, significantly higher than the guidance of 2015. Excluding the 5 million of non-recurring income, the EBITDA margin would have been 11.2%. The same for the EBIT, that recorded an increase of 28.5% versus the first quarter of the previous year, and the EBIT margin that was 6.2%, and excluding the non-recurring income of 5 million EBIT, margin would have stood at 5.7%. The ratio of depreciation of revenues ended up being higher than last year at about 0.5%, essentially due to CapEx investment linked to new projects. Financial operations went from negative 18 million in first quarter 2014 to positive 1.4 million in the first quarter 2015. The positive results was essentially due to an improvement in net financial expenses of approximately 10 million euro, thanks, as you know, the reduction of gross debt from about 1.8 billion in first quarter 2014 to 1.4 billion in this quarter. And also to a positive contribution of foreign exchange income, which went from 7 million on first quarter 2014 to 16.7 million in the last quarter. Profit from discontinued operation passed from about negative 4 million to positive 6 million, confirming the better trend of Todini. Consequently, the net result closed at 51.2 million with a very significant growth, close to 2.5 times the net result from the first quarter 2014. Turning to examine our net financial position on slide 10, the gross debt versus first quarter 2014 was reduced by about 400 million. Net debt amounted to 214 million versus 570 million in first quarter 2014. The debt to equity ratio is 0.17, still one of the best in the industry. Our weighted average interest rate was about 4.3%, including both bank debt and bond issued. In February, we signed an agreement to refinance a significant part of the long-term debt that will bring an improvement in interest rate of about 200 basis points on the year. Finally, turning to our cash flow on page 11, the working capital amounted to 470 million, showing an increase of about 140 million compared with 331 million as at December 2014. We absorbed the resources as expected in order to support the expansion of the operating activities of the group. Our business needs a certain degree of cash outflow, especially to the start of the new projects in order to finance the initial operational phases. In the first quarter, high-speed train project in Italy and projects in Ethiopia and in Denmark contributed to an increase of working capital by around 244 million, while advances related to the metro of Riyadh contributed to reduce working capital by more than 100 million euro. Now we are ready to take your question. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Arianna. We can now open the Q&A session.
Thank you, sir. Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Giuseppe Puglisi of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. I have two questions. The first, can you please give us an indication of what how is going the business in the first months of the second quarter? I'm curious to know if there is an acceleration with respect to the first quarter or the trend continues in the same way. My second question regards the delegation that the GM gave to the board for the capital, a possible capital increase. My question is, The capital increase is on top the increase of the leverage of the company in case of an acquisition, or you want to maintain a strong net financial position, you prefer to make a capital increase instead of increasing the leverage of the company in case of a potential acquisition? Thank you.
So let me answer that of course, reconfirming the guidance means an acceleration in revenues, because otherwise something will be missing in so in the first quarter we met the target of something. The first quarter is not usually our best quarter in terms of seasonality, but we think that we are in line with the growth that that was announced into the more than 15%, and of course we expect that second quarter and subsequent quarters will be higher in terms of volume of production. So this is to go to your first question. The second one on the other facility that the board of directors have required to the General Assembly and obtained, this was a measure that was needed to give the powers in case this comes out as an eventuality, as a possible use of resources to the board, and to give that possibility in timely in terms of catching the opportunities. So there is nothing that we will need now or we have to comment now.
Let me add that we just restore the flexibility that we had before we used the mandate from the Assembly to increase the capital, to the capital increase that we made in June, last June, and all the mandates that we received from the General Assembly are not linked with any acquisition. We still consider for potential acquisition bank debt as the best way to finance any expansion of our perimeter.
Okay. If I may, one more question regarding the project in Papua New Guinea. Can you tell us what is the level of advance payment that the company will receive?
To say, because of course we made the first commitment with the government, which is on an exclusivity basis, work on the development of a project, which now comes is going into the details. So we obtained the exclusivity from the government to work cheek to cheek in order to make that new project come as a reality, and now we are establishing with them the different possibility that we have in front of us. From this is a PPP project and needs to establish a special financial framework. So we will let you know the details as soon as we have agreed that with the government.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Giuseppe. Arianna?
The next question is from Andrea Scauri of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good evening, gentlemen. A couple of questions. The first one is on trend of working capital. We all know very well that in your business there is a seasonality. I was wondering if this seasonality should reflect the same trend of the previous years, working capital absorption in the first two quarters and cash flow generation in the third and fourth quarter has happened last year in order to come to the 100 million net debt that you are guiding. The second question is on Panama. Recent press articles on local press suggest that the consortium is short of cash. I was wondering if you could provide us any more details on this, if you see any risk related to potential stop of the activities has happened 1 year and a half ago. Third question, last one, is on order intake. First quarter, basically one-fourth of the intake that you have announced is coming from new order acquisition. The remaining, if I understood well, is coming from the acquisition of stakes. I was wondering if in the next quarters we will see new acquisitions of new orders in order to get to your target of intake. Thank you.
Let's come to the question on Panama that I think interests everybody. So the first thing that we have to say that in few months Panama will be achieved as a project. So this means that this company has been able to deliver one of the most significant infrastructure into the world. This is also a good thing for a company because gives reference that nobody else has in its portfolio. So I think that from now on, Salini Impregilo and his partners will have to show a new star in our chest to display. So this is a good thing. The second thing that you were mentioning was a leakage of an older paper that was under discussion on the table because we were foreseeing that our client, for a reason or another, will be kept from making decision that at the end they made. So we were trying to face the eventuality that the government was not going to release the financing that was necessary to accomplish the works and how to manage that severe situation. So this was on the table. Very luckily, or let's say in spite of the most, let's say, not willingness of doing that, they have done. So they give us the money, they gave us the money, they financed, the parliament decided in favor of a payment, and so everything is fine now for the accomplishment of the contract. So these
Okay,
are the two
so no, no risk on this side, if I understood well.
No, no risk on that side.
Okay.
So everything is fine, and so far there is the money available to complete all the work and to pay, of course, all the situation that arise from that completion. So I'm particularly happy about that. Of course, the situation that could have been much different in a new situation of halt of the work would have had a completely different scenario in front of us. But this is, thanks God, it's not the situation that we face now.
Okay.
Regarding the working capital, the seasonal trend that we had in 2014 is what we expect also for 2015. And regarding the acquisition, I leave the floor to Pietro.
Yes, the acquisition is what we have to deliver, and of course we are doing that. So let's say that we are a little bit more cautious on taking inside and to make a competitive bidding in terms of lowering the margin. So we are choosing and picking up, cherry-picking our contracts. We need little to come from the outside. I just mentioned that we need less than 20% of the total revenue that are missing to reach the targets of the 2017 plan is still to be achieved. So very little of that revenues are coming from the outside, so we can have the luxury of choosing our contracts. And we are, of course, resisting to requests of clients that wants continuously to make a discount or to receive particularly competitive bidding. So this, of course, renders things a little bit more, let's say, more lengthy in terms of procedure, even in contracts that we have into the pipeline. But we think that at the end, this will be beneficial to the accounts of the company.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. Arianna?
The next question is from Giuseppe Mapelli of Equita. Please go ahead.
Good evening. I have two questions. The first one is on CapEx. I saw that you spent something like 90 million in the first quarter. Can you give us an idea of your trend expected for the full year? And the second question on the other end is on Venezuela. because I saw in your annual report that you are going to assume the new scheme of Forex, so the so-called SIMADI. I would like to understand if and when you will apply that new scheme, and what kind of impact there will be on P&L and maybe on cash. Thank you.
Regarding the CapEx, what we expect for 2014-15 is in line with the number that we already discussed with you, that are lower than the numbers that we had in our business plan. We expect a number in the order of 220-230 million euro for construction. And in the first quarter, we had some significant investment in the main project that we are running for metro and for the high-speed train. So it's in line with the forecast that we discussed for the next 3 years.
Was one of the, I think that some of you were attending last meeting and so knew that, but into this budget and into this this year, we substantially reduced Venezuela also in terms of revenue generation for the entire plan. So we have a very limited figures coming out, even if Venezuela is still paying and everything is going into the right way. So let's say that We expect that Venezuela can have a little but beneficial impact on the final the full year figures in terms of what it will generate in respect of what is forecasted.
It's very important, and you will find in the report that will be published in a short time, that we adopted the new exchange rate in the first quarter, the SIMAD, that, as you know, it's around 200 bolivares per dollar, and the net effect is not material because it was has been hedged by the positive effect of the exchange rate between dollar and euro.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Giuseppe. Next question, Arianna.
The next question is from Roland Vetter of CS Partners. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening, gentlemen. You mentioned on your call that you have a reduction on the refinancing side. Could you maybe give some details about how much that you refinanced and when will it be effective? And on the other hand, on acquisitions, could you please clarify, you intend to do acquisitions, you also mentioned about that you're interested in the U.S., what kind of size you are looking for? And finally, you said you had some pressure on the business and on some projects because of the oil price decline. We see now some recovery. Is there some improvement coming through from this area, or will it take some more time until we see a higher oil price that you see improvement in these countries?
Starting from the refinancing, we closed the renegotiation on April 25th, and was around 600 million euro, more than around 450 million euro of bank financing, and around 200 million euro of revolving line. We had just last year 100 million euro of backup facility, and now we have more than 200 million euro with, of course, better conditions. Regarding the acquisition, Pietro.
Regarding the acquisition, we talked about that several times, and we were thinking since long when the reorganization was finally done, that it was time to look at new opportunities of growth, especially in some significant markets. So we were strongly positive in investing in the U.S., so this is one of the areas in which we would like to expand. And we are actively looking at the possibility of investing and increasing our presence into the U.S. When you talk about size, we are talking about companies that could have some synergies with us and the same set of rules and compliance that we adopt. So we think that it's a sizable company that could have an investment from 200 to 300 million. This is the size that of the investment that we are looking for, the 100% of the company. Of course, this is the enterprise value, so we look at that, and we are looking at something that have, let's say, numbers that with the multipliers that are current into the U.S. could have that size of investment. We think that there are different way of financing that acquisition. You have to remember that we have the Ely company that is already into the U.S., which is a significant company and that very good experience. We could team up the new company with the Ely and make any type of possible financing of this joint, let's say, company from the use of cheap money that is now available to let's say a listing of the resulting company. We can, every possibility can come now on the scenario. That's it for the time being.
And the oil price decline easing pressure now?
The oil price drop has been significant at the beginning of the year, and of course the effect of that sudden drop is still into the head of a lot of decision makers. So let's say that the recent rise of that price is not having the same effect in terms of shock as the drop that was coming before. But this is a normal effect on this type of situation. So we are confident that the flow of investment into the oil area related projects will be strong as expected, but we can foresee, and we have taken into account that it will be some more sluggish, let's say, procedure in order to finalize the tenders or finalize the procedure for the award of contracts into that area.
Okay. Could I follow up quickly on the cost of financing? So you said that you refinanced 600 million and you have 200 basis points lower costs. Would that effectively mean that we have something like 12 million of lower financial costs coming through from that refinancing?
Something like 10 million of savings coming from the refinancing.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Roland. Rihanna, next question, please.
The next question is from Irene Song of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Just two questions, please. First is on EBIT margin guidance. I appreciate it's just one quarter, but if your margin performance was a lot better than the 5.5 guidance you've given, even in what is usually not the strongest quarter of the year, what stops you from increasing your guidance for the full year? I still think that your margin guidance is still a bit too conservative, so I would like to understand your reasoning. So what is going to bring your 6% margin down in the remaining of the quarters, for example? So that's the first one. Second is just a quick follow-up for Massimo. What's the comparable working capital number for first quarter 14? How much of an outflow do we see in the first quarter 14, just as a comparison point, please? Thank you.
Let's go back to that figure, so I will explain that further. I understand that everybody was wondering why we had a guidance that was lower than the actual results of 2014. We fully explained that into terms that there is a little effect on the zeroing of Libya and reducing areas of high marginality like Venezuela on the plan. But the most significant thing was that we had to make some investment in terms of additional expenses for catching the full effect of the synergies to 2017. So we caught in 2014 the easiest part of the synergies coming from the reduction of cost, and in this year we have to invest some money in order to catch a more difficult part of the 2017 plan in terms of reduction. The 5 million of, let's say, non-recurrent profit that we are booking into the first quarter will of course, be there if it will not be offset by now unknown possible other negative effect that we cannot consider so far, so that we don't have, but that this will be additional, let's say, to the guidance that we gave, because, of course, it is not going to disappear into the second or quarter or even into the subsequent quarter. So let's say that in taking that into account, we would say that the marginality could be expected a little bit better into the term, taking that non-recurrent profit into the figures. We stick, of course, to the guidance because this is what the plan that we are following strictly says in terms of developing of the turnover, which you see that is growing. This is normally accompanied by, let's say, a growth into working capital. It is by, let's say, some additional resources that we need. The growth is not usually such a slope of growth. It's not efficient. Not always efficient. So let's say that we have to stick to a plan that says our guidance, this is 5.5% around that figures. We hoped to do something better than that, but let's say this is what we want to do and what we want. We think that this is a good target to deliver into this part of the plan that I want to remind everybody is the second year of the plan. First year of the plan was done a few days ago and told to you as a fact. Now is the fifth quarter that we are delivering constantly and continuously in terms of making what was the plan told to you at the beginning and making this effective. I hope that this is this is going to explain you why we do something better, and that we are of course very happy that we had this extra 5 million. It's not something that we do not want to happen, but let's say was out of the planned figures for 2015.
Irina, regarding the working capital in 2014 was 445 million euro, so in line with the number of the last quarter, and it's very important to consider that we had an increase in revenues more than 14% in this quarter, and the contribution, as I told before, come from major projects in Qatar, Ethiopia, Denmark, and Italy.
Sorry, just to clarify, I was looking more for the cash outflow in the working capital line, not the balance. And also, just to clarify on the first point, that I apologize if this was already explained earlier, but this 5 million non-recurring income, could you just elaborate what that is, where it came from? Thank you.
Irene, could you repeat the last point? Sorry.
Oh, I just wanted to understand what the 5 million extra non-recurring income this quarter was.
Before every you just completed the question, the first part of the non-recurring issues were related to a settlement of a deal with a partner of different story coming from the past. So this is something that that of course is non-recurrent, and we declare like that. So in order to explain why we had such a result into the first quarter, and not to give the idea that this is going to be something different. So it's just a matter of transparency.
Regarding the cash absorption, is around 140 million euro. That is the difference from the working capital that we had at the end of 2014 with the working capital in of the last quarter. So 140 is the absorption coming from the working capital. Is it okay?
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Andrea Balloni of Fidentiis. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening everybody. Just a couple of questions on my side. The first one is about Italy. Maybe you can give us more color about the trend of this market, both in terms of how you are developing works and in terms of possible order intake for the rest of the year. And my second question is a follow-up. I do apologize. I missed your answer to my colleague. You mentioned the size, the possible size of a possible M&A, but I missed the amount. If you can repeat it, please.
Second question, I cannot say anything further than that because, of course, if we do not identify the possible target, I cannot be more precise on what are the options that we have in front of us. What I say that if the company is prepared to invest a significant amount of money and there are various ways, you know, how to finance it, we have all to remember that that the targets of our company was to have 500 million of free cash, the net cash position at the end of 2017, which of course in that situation of use and of low interest would be waste to keep that amount of money. So we are anticipating the use of that possible cash generation in terms of reinvesting in order to make further profits. So what is the idea? It is, of course, to expand our market in there, and then we will be more precise, and then the finalization of the process of the potential candidate will be done. For the Italian market, I can only reconfirm what has been said a few days ago, in the sense that we are more than positive that the expenditure of the government will now be effective in terms of new investment into the area of infrastructure. So an area by which was let's say not developing in terms of revenues for our plan. I remember that that only 10% of the revenues of Salini and Pregillo comes from Italy, will be generating some additional revenues from that area. So I'm positive about that, and I think this is going to boost further our confidence in reaching the targets.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. Arianna, I think at this point we can conclude our call. We thank everyone for your presence.
Just a final statement, because I've heard no comments on that. I want to pinpoint your attention on the fact that the net profit that the company is making into this first quarter. I do not say this is something that I can change into a guidance for the future, but I say that this is an important factor onto which put your attention. Thank you, gentlemen and ladies.
Thank you, Pietro. Thanks, everyone, for your participation.